Welcome to the weekly podcast of River Valley Church. We're glad you're here. Our heart is to lead people to Jesus and launch them into their God-given purpose. So we pray you would encounter God in a fresh, new way today. To learn more about our church, visit rivervalley.org. Now, let's tune in to this week's message.
Well, we are in week two of a brand new series called Made for Mondays. Did you enjoy it last week? We're in a great start, week two, and I said brand new, but it's really 7 years old. It's the second time we've done it as a church, but it's good to bring themes back that we were made to live as Christ followers and to be light in the world, not just on the weekend worshiping Jesus, but out in the world Monday through Saturday. We need a Monday faith, a Tuesday faith. Should we do all seven? I don't know. Probably not. And Apple Valley, right here, can we welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us right now? We love you, church, all of our missionaries around the world. And I do want to highlight this fact that this weekend, our Eagan campus is celebrating their 10-year anniversary being a part of River Valley Church. We love Eagan and a testimony from there. In the last 10 years, Eagan campus has seen over 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give praise. Hallelujah. I love that Pastor Rob started this series last week saying, your work matters to God, and God matters to your work. And we as Christ followers were made to be in this world, not of it, in this world to be a light in the dark. I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and tackling a little bit different angle on work. What do you do when work is difficult? What do you do when you're not finding fulfillment or satisfaction in what you're doing Monday through Friday? Let's read this together, starting in verse 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. What gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in the man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. The title of this message is When Work is Hard. And I'm not talking about hard work. Like, you were made to work hard 6 days a week and to rest well one day a week. We were made to work hard and we can find joy and pleasure. But what do you do when the environment that you're in may be toxic, or there are cultural headwinds that go up against what is in the Word of God? How do I enjoy going up to work on Monday when my boss is difficult? And I'm just realizing right now, why did Pastor Rob ask me to preach this week? I don't know. I'm loving working here. It's a joy to work here. But the reality is many, you go to work and you're facing real difficulty, real trial, real challenges. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Let's pray just as we continue. Lord, we thank you for your presence that's here right now. And there are people that are living out their career and in their calling, but there is difficulty. And Lord, I pray that this weekend there would be a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit in their sails to continue living the call of God that is on their life, to be a light in this world. I pray that there would be a real freedom, a real strengthening, and a real joy that happens this weekend in the hearts of our church as we're a light in our communities and in our workplaces to make a difference for the glory of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. Before working at the church, I had a couple different jobs. I was raised by a father that really felt like, getting out there, getting a job when you're young is valuable. The first job I had was actually at the church my father pastored. I got a janitorial position. I like to call it the custodial technician, so I changed the title pretty quick. Felt like that was more, it was just a different, I was a custodial technician. I learned some lessons there. God taught me a few things. And then my dad, when I was 14, he went out and he knew somebody that had 11 different apartment buildings, complexes, or residential units that needed some lawn mowing. And so on Saturday mornings for the entire summer when I was 14 years old, my dad would drop me off with a bike, a lawnmower, and a gas can. And he'd say, good luck in the marketplace. And I have to pull, you know what it's like to pull a lawnmower behind your bike from one apartment building to the other side of town to the next apartment building? And character building. But I'll share this real quick. My favorite job in high school was actually working at Starbucks. I was 16 years old. I got hired at Starbucks in Bismarck, the South 3rd Street location, just in case you've been there. But small little Starbucks, and I worked for a manager. His name is Bruce Pennington. And I wasn't the greatest employee at that time. I was scheduled many opening shifts, which means I had to be there at 4:30 because our Starbucks location at the time opened at 5. And I would open with Bruce Pennington. And there was multiple times that I had seen 2 or 3 a.m. and then would then try to fall asleep, and I would sleep past my alarm, and I'd be woken up by my mom because Bruce had called my mom, like, you gotta get to work, what's going on? And I just remember driving, shaking, the steering wheel, like, oh, I'm gonna lose my job. And I remember Bruce being firm, but also so gracious and speaking life and value to me. Bruce is a godly man, a Christ follower, and a light. And the way that he treated me taught me a lot about what it's like to be a leader and to correct, but also moments to give grace and to say, I still believe in you. Can I tell you that Bruce Pennington won Manager of the Year a couple years later for all of Starbucks? It was an amazing education for me to say I wasn't the greatest employee and he treated me a certain way. He was a light to me a certain way. And then he went on to win this amazing award. And I was like, man, Bruce Pennington is a light. And we all have the opportunity to be a leader, a manager, a boss, an employer, a worker that is just like that. And I'd love to, we've got chairs up here. I'd love to introduce to you somebody that has been a light in our church, but also in the marketplace for the last 20 years. And I'd like to bring up one of our deacons at the city campus. Can we welcome Brad McCoy? Come on up. Have a seat. Hey, we're going to do a little interview because Brad is you. As you work in the marketplace, this is what Brad's been doing decade in and decade out. But Brad, I had the opportunity to marry Brad and his wife, Michelle, in Barcelona, Spain. That's a good destination wedding. It's amazing. But love you so much. And would you just introduce yourself and kind of where you're coming from, context, and maybe why you're up here?
Totally. So first of all, thank you, Kirk and Pastor Rob, for having me. I love this house. Even just doing the commissioning service, I'm like, I love that I'm at River Valley. And I just want to shout out my wife, Michelle, and all the Target crew that are here today. Thanks for coming and joining us. But as Kirk said, I've been in Minnesota, Target, and River Valley for 20 years, and it's been such a cool journey to watch what God has done here at River Valley. And when I first started, the sanctuary or the auditorium was facing this way, and there was maybe 200 of us, and it's been such a wild journey. And then I got to help plant Crosstown with Pastor Anthony, and then went to City with you, and we started this crazy thing downtown, and it's just been an incredible journey. And that while I was doing that, I was at Target and figuring out life in the corporate world, and it's just been so cool. I've had probably about 12 different positions and have led many, many teams at Target, and my favorite thing at Target is helping to lead the Christian network, and it is just absolutely incredible that, first of all, we have a Christian network, and to see what God is doing in the hearts of our Target employees, and it's just every day I get to show up in work and say, okay, God, what do you have for me today? What's going on? How do you want to use me, and how How can I be on mission for you?
You shared a couple of examples earlier just before the service about how you are practically a light. And I think that there's a lot of people that go like, I'm a Christ follower and I go to work and I do a good job. Like Pastor Rob's message last week was really about, are you an example? Like, are you working to be the best of the best in your field? Are you showing up on time? Are you being diligent? Are you positive? Are you watching your countenance? All of that. And you do that. But what are some practical ways that you've been able to be a godly light in the marketplace?
I think there's a lot of ways. As Christians, oftentimes we have this like, oh, I can't share my faith. Like, that's off limits. Like, that is not a good thing. And in corporate America and in our businesses, people share everything and anything about their lives. But for us, as people of faith, it's like, well, I got to tone it down. I'm not going to share it. And so one of the biggest things that I do is I'm ready to share my story at any given moment. And that story is full of Jesus because that's who I am and that's who he's changed me. And so I always have to be ready to share that story. And there's nothing anyone can say about my story. It's my story and what Jesus has done in my life. And it's incredibly powerful when you have that and you're living it out. And then the other thing, and we were talking about this right before we came in, and prayer is one of the best tools that you can use when you're trying to authentically love people in a way that's true to you. And so today in our society and in the workplace, it's like, hey, we got to get psychological safety. Everyone's struggling through their day and we need help. And it's like, well, I believe in the power of prayer. And I, at work, Target says, be yourself, show up, be the authentic you, do everything that we want to know you. And if that's the case, if I have an employee who said, hey, my grandma just had a stroke, my very first response is, hey, God loves you, and can I pray with you? And if you want prayer, let's not say, I'm going to pray for you. I'll pray for you right now. And that actually happened this week. And then you have moments where you're like, okay, maybe I don't know this person. And prayer is just, if you don't pray in the workplace, you got to just try testing it out. I was on a Zoom call and I'm like, okay, like I can tell this guy's walking through something. And I said, hey, are you a part of any employee resource groups? Like, are you in the Christian network? Like, I'm trying to like figure out like where what's going on. And he started to share about his son and his family. I had never met him before. And his son, he's 5 and can't talk. And he's like, man, it's been hard as a family. It's been really hard. And I said, well, I have a prayer journal right here. I'm going to put your son's name. And I wrote his son, I'm going to be praying for your son this week. And at the end of our time together, we did our business and we were excited about what was going on. He goes, would you just actually pray for me right now? And so we prayed and it was wild. He lifted his hands and just started to cry on that Zoom call. And that was an authentic moment right away where it wasn't like I could have been like, hey, this isn't professional. We'll just like, I'll shoot him an email later. I'll figure out how to send him a note of encouragement. It was right then and there. I said, I believe in the power of healing. I'm in the middle of my cube row and there's 20 people around me. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you are made well and healed. Woo! And I'm like, you know what?
The Holy Spirit retreat at Target. Love it.
I could have said, well, what is my team going to think? My boss is just a cubro over. But you've told me to be my authentic self. And what better care can I show that I genuinely care about you so much and I believe that Jesus heals? Why would I hide that from you? Because that's who I am. And if you don't want it, that's cool. I might just speak a prayer and say good things and blessings over you. But we have, as Christians, that ability to speak into people's lives. And most people want that. Most people want to be cared for in a way that's authentic to you.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And Brad mentioned Zoom call, and he's one of the people, Pastor Rob last week challenged the people that have the flexibility to work from home, said, you take that to prayer and say, Lord, are you calling me back in person to be a minister in the marketplace? And so Brad, actually, you go 3 days a week into the building, even though you may have the flexibility or the privilege to be able to work from home, 3 days a week, you are going into the office. And then you have team members also around the world. But Brad, maybe you don't know this, but Brad actually comes from a ministry family. His grandpa is a legendary AG pastor out in Ohio, right? And just an amazing family. And I know this for a fact that over the years, we've approached Brad saying, hey, would you ever, like, do you ever think that God made you to be in ministry, vocational ministry? And Brad, you've always kept the line saying, I feel like I'm living out my calling and potentially even doing more ministry as I stay and remain in the marketplace. Would you talk about that conviction?
Yeah, and I would say it wasn't clear early on. So growing up in a family where your grandpa's a pastor and you have cousins that are missionaries around the world and uncles and everything, you're like, okay, like, is this what I should be doing? Like, I should be on mission. This is the pinnacle, right, of faith. And I actually tried to jump in and say, hey, can I work at the church and do this? And all the doors closed. And I was like, okay, God, like, what am I doing now? And God ended up sending me to Minnesota, graduated. I had a degree in economics. And it was wild those years when I first moved to Minnesota, how I realized, like, I am on mission. Like, the mission field that I am on, there's so many people who have never heard of the genuine gospel. And how can we live that out in an authentic way? And sometimes it's truly just caring for people and speaking words of life and hope over that. And I always have this tension because I'm like, well, I could pastor. When I do the spiritual gifts finder, it's like pastoring, marketing, sales. And I'm like, I'm just going to do them all, I guess. And I love it when Pastor Rob said, head worship leader. I was like, that is what I get to do every day at Target. And culture is crying out for people to lead in this space. Culture is saying, like, what? I don't know what to do. We're trying, especially in business. Business is truly trying to help people. And when we don't live out that faith and live on mission when we're at work, we're actually not doing what God has called us to do. We're off mission. And the more that we can do that, even though we think what we're doing here at River Valley, there is 10 times as much work outside of this building. And if we don't proclaim the name of Jesus and speak life over people there, we are in charge of changing the atmosphere in those office buildings. We're in charge on a Zoom when it's going bad and it feels off. I'm the one that's supposed to bring light and hope and help and healing into those situations. And when we live on mission, you can be fulfilled. Even in the hardest days, you know that this is my calling. This is where I'm supposed to be. And God will fill you up and give you what you need. And especially when we say, it's your work, God. You've called me here to work excellently, but it's all about you. And when we give it to God, the miracles that can be worked through our workplaces are absolutely incredible.
Yeah, really great. Isn't this awesome? Praise God. Hopefully this is valuable. Brad, you mentioned culture. And, for a long time, many have dealt with cultural headwinds that kind of go up against what is in the Word of God. And especially over the last couple of years, how have you remained a light? You've remained at your workplace, but also just a vibrant light making a difference at Target. How have you remained a light even though there's a lot in this world that's coming up against maybe what you believe? Yeah.
That's one of the, I feel like every day we have these moments where I'm talking with people at Target and it's like, can I work here? Like, do I feel good like working here? And we have the hard conversations of, well, are you on mission? Because many people will say, well, I'm identifying as a Christian and I'm going to leave my Christian stuff here at River Valley and then I'm just going to work hard and be excellent at my work. But that's not what God has called us to do, to compartmentalize that. And I would just encourage you, like, when we're on mission, you can have those conversations and realize I don't have to be in alignment with my work. Like, I don't have to align with all the things. And I don't work at a Christian company. Believe it or not, I just don't work at a Christian company. And that's okay because I don't have to work at a Christian company. That I am there on mission to share the love of Jesus and to be my authentic self. And I think the people that struggle with it the most is they're like, and I have these conversations often at Target. It's like, well, how, like, can I be here? And it's like, you can be on mission and not agree with what everyone else is doing. That's okay. And it's actually a diverse workplace. And they're encouraging you to be your authentic self. And so when we do that and we know we're on mission, it's not going to be a Christian workplace. All of a sudden, we can live differently and not have to have the weight of the corporation's decision on our shoulders. That's not why I'm there. I'm there to share the love and hope of Jesus with everyone that I meet. And every time you talk to someone, they're like, the best part of my job is the people that I get to work with. And why would we hide the best part of our life from the best part of what people always talk about?
That's great. Here's just final question is, you know, for people that are in the season of work is hard. It's just difficult showing up with a smile on my face and dealing with, you know, whatever coworker or boss or manager or situation that they're navigating. How have you remained, if you can't tell, he's full of the joy of the Lord. How have you remained joy-filled and smiling and just setting an amazing example of what a resilient Christ follower looks like? How have you remained that?
Yeah, there's definitely been days where it's been hard, right? It's not always like, yay, it was easy. I prayed over that person. Not everyone's going to be like welcoming of that. But what I think is when we are in God's word, when we have the discipline to stay close to him and to listen to his spirit, even in the hard days, he renews our strength. Like the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. And even in the hardest days, that's where we get to draw closer to him. And one of the things that I've learned, and I've had a lot of hard lessons at Target where I put myself first and the selfishness of career ambition and wanting to advance before what God wants, I've learned that I need to give not parts of my job, all of my job to him. And in the Proverbs, it actually says that when we were going through soap this past week, it says, give your work to God and he will make those plans come to life. And I think there's been times where I've held my work, especially when I first became a leader. I'm like, I'm just going to hire the best. And I didn't even pray about who was going to be on my team. And you bet, as soon as I have an open position on my team, the first thing I do is, Jesus, who's going to fill this spot? You're going to put someone who's unifying. You're going to put someone who's going to be joyful, that's going to bring your spirit and unity here. They don't have to be a Christian, but the right person into that spot. And I submit that to him. And I think there's a lot of us who we have parts of our work where we haven't given it to God. We're holding on to that. And we're wondering why it keeps becoming a rub, or you have that anxiety to show up, or like, I don't want to talk to my boss. I feel just so much anxiety when I talk to him. Have you given that to Jesus? Have you literally said, this relationship is your relationship, God. I'm going to follow you, whatever you're asking me to do. And maybe that's praying and fasting, and God's going to give you some prophetic words, right, to share that are life. And maybe there's things going on in your boss's life that you have no clue about. And if you would start to show up as your authentic Christian self, your boss would maybe start to open up a little bit more. But because you keep it so transactional, right? We're just doing business. That's where we as Christians can really let the light of Jesus shine.
Awesome. I would love for you, I was praying about this moment, that there would be some level of like impartation. Not that Brad's perfect, but he's living it out year in and year out. And you, the amount of people that have given their lives to Christ that you've been co-workers with as a result of you living this out, just praying that there would be like an impartation, what is in you, what the Lord's placed in you, that it would be on our church, that people going to work tomorrow would show up with fresh strength from the Holy Spirit. Would you pray over our church, everybody that's in the marketplace, that they would have what they need to live out the call of God that's on their life?
And when you were saying that before, I pray, like, just like we prayed for Sam and Tassan and the Thompsons, like, they're commissioned, right? You all are commissioned. Like, we are commissioned to go out and do this. So when I'm praying, I hope you guys receive that you are on mission and God's commissioning you. So Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you for every single person at River Valley, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength to live on mission, to allow your Holy Spirit to work in and through us, that we would have open eyes and ears to hear and to see you and move when you call us to move and to pray when you call us to pray, Lord. I pray that people that have never moved out of their compartment of work is work and church is church, to break that line even in the next week or so, Lord. And I pray that they would be obedient to whatever you're calling them to do, whatever you're calling them to start, Lord, at work, whether it's a small group or whether it's just starting to encourage people and to show the love of Jesus. I pray that your Holy Spirit would rise up a new fire and have a wave throughout all of our workplaces where people are seeing the love of Jesus and being filled up and their lives changed because of what you called us to do. In your mighty name, in the name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Can we thank Brad McCoy? Thank you so much. So what do you do when work feels pointless? It's meaningless, it's pointless. We're gonna bring a different perspective, that there is purpose in this work. Would love to read just real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 says, so I hated life. This is verse 17. There might be people you go, I hate my job. So I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, and all is vanity and striving after the wind. And I just want to encourage anybody here, if you're in an environment that's an abusive environment, it's toxic to the point where I hate going to work. I can't, I know that Pastor Rob would encourage you. You need to pray quickly. God, remove me from this situation. It's okay to say, I'm opting out of this position. And you might be perfectly positioned to jump into faith saying, God, I don't know what's next. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how you're going to provide, but I trust you. And it's okay to get out of that abusive or toxic environment. So that's okay. But we need to bring purpose to our workplace. Ecclesiastes 3:22. So I saw that there is nothing better than that man should rejoice in his work. Are you showing him, God, it's hard work, but I'm rejoicing in this work. I'm trusting that you're doing something, for that is his lot. Who can bring to him to see what will be after him? Here's some practical things that as you're looking for purpose in the workplace, become a builder of skills. Believe that God's going to build within me new skills. Become a builder of greater relationships, that I'm not just showing up for myself. I'm not just learning a new skill, but God's got me here for a relationship. I'm going to be a light here. I'm going to build a bridge between me and this lost person. I love that Jesus, he grew in wisdom and stature. So you could say some skills. People say, oh, he's the carpenter's son. He's the stonemason's son. Jesus had some skills and he grew in wisdom and stature, but also he was known as somebody building relationship. They called him the friend of sinners. Man, I want to be like you, Jesus, that I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm light in the dark. So we're going to build skills. We're going to build relationships. We're building purpose. And we're going to allow God to build me. So God's doing something in you, even in the difficult circumstance, even in the toil, even in the turmoil, even in the challenge, in the hard work, when it's like, man, there's just, Monday's coming again. God is building in you something amazing. And you're gonna look back on it. There was so much purpose in that difficulty. There was so much purpose in that pain. And so get a new perspective from heaven that God might be building a skill in you that you need. He's building relationships, and people are gonna get saved as a result of you showing up on Monday. And he's building something great in you. He's forming you into his image. What do you do when work feels selfish? We're gonna rapid fire these. Sometimes it just, you know, I'm showing up and am I doing this selfishly? No, we're gonna work to be selfless. It's a different perspective. So we're not showing up and this is pointless, there's purpose. And we're not just showing up because this is selfish. But I'm going to be selfless. Here's some selfish workers. The Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. They said to one another, all the workers, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. And right now to the church, we are not here to make a name for ourselves. No pastor, no missionary, no ministry leader, and no marketplace Christian. There's no room for you to be focused on building a name for yourself, but the name above every other name, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I show up on Monday in the marketplace. I'm showing up to make a name for Jesus, to make his name great in the workplace that is dark. I'm not showing up selfish. I'm showing up selfless. Colossians 3:23, famous. Whatever you do, work heartily. Work ethic. Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive an inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ. Pastor Rob said the last time we did this series, he said, your employer does not set your wages. The Lord sets it, because there's an inheritance coming to you as a result of your work ethic, working heartily as unto the Lord. And you may see it here on earth with great blessings and great provision and great success. And you might have an abundance here on earth. But if you show up on Monday, even in a low income or low paying job, feeling like, is this, do I have any purpose? But God, I'm going to serve as unto you. The Lord sets your wages and there is an inheritance coming to you. You can go to work tomorrow with great hope knowing that God sets my wages. Man, I thought that'd get a great amen. Jeffrey Cook said this, God is the great opportunist. He's working unique and divine setups. And he needs his church in the right spots. Get in your right spot. I love John Bevere. He wrote a book and he kind of described eternity. And he said, I'm looking for Kirk the lawyer. I'm just using myself as an example. Kirk the lawyer. And I respond, well, Lord, I was a pastor. No, you were made to be a lawyer, but you chose to be a pastor. I needed you in a specific spot. And are you in your divine setup spot that God made you for a specific purpose? We can't all be pastors. This is not the greater thing. This is what I was made to do. Are you in the role doing what you were made to do so that we can reach a world that needs Jesus? Get in your spot. It's selfless. It's selfless to make the name of Jesus known. As we close, when work feels fruitless, where's the return? We're going to work. We're going to work to be fruitful. Last scripture that I'm going to read is John chapter 15. Very familiar. This is not just about your personal relationship with the Lord, but in everything that you do and everywhere that you go. I am the vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The hardness of your work, the difficult situation may be because you are spending time with the Lord, you are connected to the vine, and he's pruning you so that you can bear more fruit. What if the difficult situation that you're in is because he's pruning you? Because greater things are ahead. Would you stick it out? Because greater things are ahead. Already you are clean because the word that I've spoken to you. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So as you go into the workplace, as Monday comes every week, stay connected to who is the vine. And I promise you, there is purpose. There is a name above every other name that is being lifted high like a city on a hill. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And you will bear fruit. I promise I'm going to pray. We're going to get out of here. At Christmas time, our twin boys, we gave them little flashlights. Little cheap flashlights. They love playing hide and seek in the dark, and they've got their little flashlights. But they're cheap, and they stop working. And sometimes with a cheap flashlight, you just gotta like bang it a little bit, you know. You just gotta shake it up a little bit. All of a sudden, the light starts working. This series is for you in the marketplace. A shake up, a Holy Spirit. Divine shakeup that God made you to be a light, something that is powerful, not equal forces with dark, but infinitely more powerful than the dark. The dark cannot defeat the light, but the light every time will defeat the dark. This is your shakeup right now. Come on, shake up what is in your life. Are you in the right place, in the right job, doing what God's made you to do? It may feel like, is it worth it? It's difficult. I need the strength, but connected to the vine, it'll bear fruit. And I'm just asking you that you'd recognize that this is a shake up for your life, that you would be the light you were made to be. And we're gonna see our city saved in Jesus' name. We're gonna see our community saved. There's an unsaved coworker that needs to be a part of the 500, and it's gonna be you that brings the light in the marketplace that says, I'm living for Jesus. They're gonna get saved on Easter. saved on Easter and called to the mission field. And that's their divine spot. Come on, let's believe in faith that God's gonna do something amazing through our church, but through you, the flashlight in this world. Lord, I thank you for this series. It's amazing that, you know, it almost feels less spiritual, but it is not. You are all over it, that people are called into this world to be a light. In every field, in every sphere, Lord, we need the church of Jesus Christ to be a light. And I pray that you would infuse it in us. If you got to shake us up, we'll take it. But we want to work for you because our work matters to you. And God, you matter to the work. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.